Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
You know, I've been talking to you for the last few weeks about the power that is in our lives. You know, we often talk about the things that we don't have. It's kind of what sermons are made of, the things and the goals, if you will, that we would have. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about the work that I have is to lead you toward maturity in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ until we come and are like Him. Has anybody arrived yet? Okay, then we're all still working on it. Amen? This series of messages, these five messages, are about the things that we received from God as part of His image, His likeness, but we've already have these in our lives. Now here's the caveat. That is that the enemy of our soul is trying to pervert and steal these powerful things. And at the same time, the Holy Spirit of God is trying to enable us to take them to the heights. Jesus Himself said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life to the very fullest." These powerful things in our lives, and by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. I don't want you to think that I've given you all these five and that's the end. No, that's just the five that we're going to look at right in this series. And actually, today we're on number four. The tongue, the mouth, speech, powerful. I don't know if you've noticed, no other animal or being that God created has the power that you and I have of speech and communication. Now, I don't know about the dogs in your neighborhood, but to me, they pretty much say the same thing over and over. Woof. Different sizes. They say that different tones that they can tell what. I always marvel at these humans that can listen to a dog bark and tell that they are in distress, that they're mad. There's this one guy that my wife loves to watch, Caesar something or other, dog whisperer. Oh, listen. Our knowledge of canine behavior has risen incredibly. You say, her tail's wagging, she's fine. No, that's not a, that's not an I like you wag, that's I'm going to eat you wag. I don't know, but it sure is a guessing game, right? I don't know what kind of sensing that these animals may have. But I do know this, there's not the level of communication among animals and beasts that there is among human beings. We are empowered by God to be communicators, to talk. James probably gives the most extensive portion of Scripture regarding the tongue, although Proverbs would probably equal in the number of verses. James puts it all together for us. And I'd like for you to turn there to James chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1. And my time is very limited today, so I'll try to do my very best. What's that? Go till I'm done. Well, okay.
so much I could say there, but I won't.
Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When we put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Father, help us this morning in these very few moments to find clarity in your word and resolve in your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the most powerful attributes that God has given to us is the power of our tongue. Now, I don't want you to think this morning that this is going to be a dismantling of your power. I want you to walk out of here this morning realizing the power, the awesome power, even as I said last week, superpower that God has given to us. A heathen philosopher called Xanthus, expecting some friends to dine with him, ordered his servant Aesop, you've probably heard of Aesop, to provide the best things the market could supply. Tongues were provided. Yeah. And these the cook was ordered to serve up with different sauces. I don't care what kind of sauce. Okay. Sorry, I don't have time for that. It just sort of disgusts me. No, never. Course after course was supplied, each consisting of tongue. Xanthus said, "Did I not order you to buy the best victuals the market could afford? And have I not obeyed your orders?" said Aesop. "Is there anything better than a tongue? Is not the tongue the bond of civil society, the organ of truth and reason, and the instrument of our praise and adoration of the gods?" Now, I don't know why this next part happens, but it's part of the story. Xanthus ordered him to go out again to the market on the morrow and buy the worst things he could find. Aesop went again and purchased tongues. Now, I get that part. Which the cook served with various sauces. "What? Tongues again?" said Xanthus. "Most certainly," rejoined Aesop. "The tongue is surely the worst thing in the world. It is the instrument of all strife and contention, the inventor of lawsuits, and the source of division and wars. It is the organ of error, of lies, and of blasphemies." Do you get the meaning of this? It is both healing and pain. What a powerful organ, what a powerful attribute that God has given to us that is capable of so much. Now, James brings out three things that I want you to see very, very quickly this morning. And the first is the tongue is small but mighty.
I would ask you to grab a hold of your tongue, but I don't know. That's some of you want to shake my hand later, and so we won't do that.
Okay.
James takes it to this. He says, controlling the tongue is controlling the body. Now that's incredible if you think about it. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. And that's basically what he's saying. If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body, because it is so difficult to control the tongue. As a matter of fact, he alludes to the fact that it is impossible. He says, we all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. If you can control, here, I'll use this other hand. This little thing. If you can control your tongue, you can control anything. The great scholar Socrates tells the story of Pambo. Love the name. A plain, ignorant man who came to a learned man and desired him to teach some psalm or something of intelligence to him. He began to read to him the 39th psalm. And I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. Having passed this first verse, Pambo shut the book and took his leave, saying that he would go and learn this point first. After several months, the learned man sent word to Pambo concerning the pursuit of knowledge. Pambo sent back that he had not yet mastered the first lesson. After 49 years, he had still not mastered the one lesson to be able to control his tongue. Verse 3 to 5 here states that although the tongue is a small part of our body, it often controls the direction of the whole body. Come on. You seen this? How many of you, let's just get a point of identification here. How many of you have ever said something that you regretted? Wow, some of you didn't. That's cool. Most of us in here have said something that we wish that we could go back and say over, do over. But it's impossible, isn't it? One time, one of the great evangelists had come into a city, great revival was moving, and the local newspapers, for whatever reason, came strongly against him, bashing him, horrible, horrible things. Particularly one specific writer who was just every single day, day after day, was just writing horrible things about him. Until one night, that writer came to one of the services and gave his heart to the Lord. And when he gave his heart to the Lord, in the midst of that conversion, he realized he had done wrong in all of those articles that he had written. And so he came to this great evangelist and he said, oh, sir, he said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for what I have done. Can you forgive me? And this evangelist went over, and that was in the day where everybody had feather pillows. They're in the hotel room, and he opens up the feather pillow and he stood at the windowsill and he shook the pillow out like this, and all the feathers go flying all over the place. And he said to the man, he says, when you can pick up all of those feathers, I will release you. See, it's really easy to go back after you have done incredible damage and to say, I'm sorry to an individual, but often the power that is in our tongues, the ability that we have to bless or curse, can change the course of another person's life, or decrease their effectiveness, or increase their effectiveness. James is not saying here that the tongue changes everything about the body. He is saying that the tongue is so unruly and so evil, if you will, so bent on the evil side, that if you can get a hold of your tongue and never be at fault in the things that you say, then you are strong enough to control every other aspect of your being. He goes so far as to say the tongue is a fire. Wow. And then have you seen that? It's an illustrative sermon. Hope you got it. Nothing but a little whisper. And what was it? Striking the match and setting it on fire. How many lives have been lost because someone could not control their tongue? But oh, how many lives have been encouraged and changed because someone had control of their tongue, and that the power of their word set ablaze a life. You know, a young person who has horrible self-worth, and a stranger comes along and just upon observing them for a few moments says to them, "Wow, you are going to be an incredible person. Your gifts and your talents are going to be, you're going to change the course of mankind." Let me tell you something. There are testimonies after testimonies after testimonies of individuals whose lives have been changed by a single person on a single day saying just a few short words, rightly spoken, into a life. James chapter 3, verse 7 and 8 says the tongue is untamable. He says there are many things that we're able to train, but not the tongue. You know, I think sometimes that's because of will. Let me tell you a little secret. Everybody likes secrets. You want to know how to train your tongue? Purpose to only say things that are sweet and appropriate. All of a sudden now, a governance has come into place. Now you have to resolve this, and you have to work on it, and it may take you an entire lifetime to get to the point where you're even beginning with this. But nevertheless, purpose to only say things that will build up and encourage and edify and help. And then your mind, which is in control of your speech, will prompt you and let you know. Now see, if you do not put such a restraint upon your tongue, that tongue of yours is going to do damage and may hurt and tear down people's lives and their self-worth and their hope for the future. He said, "Well, I've got to be me." Yeah, okay. But just let your me be sweet for the sake of all the rest of us. He said, but we live in a world, people do stuff. You're right. People do stuff. But we don't have to talk about it. "Well, you know, I don't know them. I'll never see them. I'll never meet them. It doesn't matter. You know, I can say," yes, it does. Because you and I are training our tongues. We have this incredible power in us. We have the power to build up. We have the power to tear down. We have the power to bless. We have the power to curse. Out of the same mouth, we are making a choice every single moment of every single day of what direction our tongue will take us. You say, "Take us?" Yeah. How many people do you know? Don't point at him. But how many people do you know that you say, oh, they're so negative. Oh, they're so negative. It doesn't matter. Oh, come on. Don't you just love to be around a negative person? Oh, yeah, give me a group of them. I just love to be around a bunch of negative people all complaining. Everything is woe is me. No. How many like to be around an encourager? You know, a couple years ago, I guess it's been almost 6 years ago now, Sharon's mom turned 80. And some of her kids, she had eight, nine, something like that, but some of her kids she hadn't seen for almost 20 years because they were scattered all over the United States, and her two oldest sons lived in Hawaii, and anyway, she hadn't seen them for 18 years, one of them. So we decided for her 80th birthday that everybody would get together, and we rented a place, and was at Thanksgiving, and so we brought everybody together. What a lot of work. That's beside the point. Sharon's oldest brother, who is a pastor, was a pastor in Hawaii, now it works for some university. He came purposed to that event to speak blessing into every single person's life. Now, he didn't announce, okay, now while we're together these 2 days, I'm going to bless everybody. No, that wasn't about. He came purposed to speak blessing into each person's life. So his thing, if you will, for those 2 days was to get some alone time with each and every person of his family, and that included husbands and wives and grandkids and everything of all his siblings. And he was going to speak into their lives and say blessed things. And he went about doing that. And you know, it was so incredible because everybody, self included, everybody had their opportunity to be, his name's Keen, K-E-A-N. Everybody had their opportunity to be with Keen along the way because he made sure of that. And everybody, you know, Facebooking and stuff like that afterwards. Wow, wasn't it wonderful to be with Keen? He spoke to me such encouraging things. See, he didn't announce it. And so everybody felt like they got the exclusive. It was incredible. It was such a lesson for me to see what he did to his entire family in those 2 days, and the way any impression that they may have had of him, any thoughts that they may have had of him, all changed and were altered because of the way that he spoke into each person's life and spoke words of blessing and encouragement. He had all the nieces and nephews at one point or another and talked to them about things that he observed, you know, of their abilities and their talents. And listen to me, every single person walked out of there feeling that they had been lifted. Now see, I know from after the fact that he came there and had three very major illnesses going on in his life, of which he never spoke. There were things that had happened to him work-wise where he had been cheated or done something to, you know, never spoke of those things. What I want you to see is the choice. The incredible power that he had, that he brought to those 2 days. Now, I know that he's not perfect. I know, you know,
I'm certain of that. But what my point to you is of how he was able to use the power that God gave to him of communication to change the lives of all of his family members in one setting. Individually, one at a time, speaking words of blessing and encouragement and hope into their lives. Oh, listen to me. You and I have incredible power. You know, one of the things that about being a pastor for this many years is to watch the power of the tongue and how it affects a church. Just like when you get any group of people together, things happen in the church. Huh? Stuff happens. How we react to that stuff can mean the difference between our unity or our brokenness. And you know what? 99.9% of the time, it is because of the tongue that things get broken. We have been given a gift. The tongue is perhaps one of your most and my most capable attributes. You have power. Just look at the person next to you. I'm going to tell you this, something to say. Are you ready? Look at the person next to you and say, "You got the power." Okay? With the tongues we praise our Lord and Father. With it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursings. My brothers, this should not be. Before this day is over, there will be those of you sitting in this room who will take this message, take this word of God, and go out here and you will live this passage. You will have stood and sang the praises of the Lord, and you will walk out and you will find there will be curses on your lips toward men who were made in the likeness of God. Brothers, sisters, this should not be. Imagine with me the life that tames the tongue, who resolves to let nothing but sweet water flow out. Whew! It almost gives you chills, doesn't it? I mean, just think if we could, even for a few moments, like my brother-in-law, if we could for a few moments when we come together for an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 30 minutes on Sunday morning, if we could for that period of time say to our tongue, "Tongue," you should talk to your tongue some. "Tongue, behave yourself. Say nothing that will tear down. Say nothing that will discourage. Say nothing that will cause brokenness in someone's life. But instead, use your power, your awesome superpower, to encourage and strengthen and help and mend." Wow. You know, if you pick up your Bible and you read 2/3 of the New Testament's written by the Apostle Paul. You know what? You owe one man for that. And his name's not Paul. His name is Barnabas. Because see, Paul had a reputation. Paul was a Christian killer. Paul was somebody you didn't want to associate with until a man named Barnabas, that was the name given to him by the disciples. His name was Joseph, actually, but he was given the name of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Can't you see him going around the church? Oh, my goodness. Oh, you're looking great today. Thank you for sitting on the front row. What a blessing you are. Thank you so much.
And he just went person to person to person and encouraged them. And all of a sudden, he looks up and back of the sanctuary, you know, back in underneath the balcony there. In walks a Saul of Tarsus. And everybody's whispering, Saul, killer. Held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. He's here in the church. Okay, get the men together. We'll throw him out. Barnabas goes, hold on. Hold on. God's doing something. He didn't storm in here with soldiers. He came in here with his head bowed. Something's going on. And he went back to Saul and he said, what's going on? And Saul says, you know what? I was walking down the road and the light of God shone on me and he changed my life. Gave me back my sight. Called me to preach. Barnabas said, come here. Let me introduce you to the church. And Barnabas stood there in his reputation as being an encourager and someone that the people could trust. And he said, you can trust my brother Saul. I'll stand beside him. And when it was time to go on a missionary journey to go and preach the gospel to the world, Barnabas said, no problem. I'm going to go with him. I will let my reputation stand so that he can preach the word of God. You know, listen to me, church. How many times has a preacher of the gospel been cut short in his ministry, maybe even forced to leave because people didn't have control of their tongues? You say, yes, but he did. It's not what about he did. It's about people that couldn't control their tongues. And yet, how many have moved forward? I remember Billy Graham became Billy Graham. You understand what I'm saying on that? Because of one publisher who said to his editors, push Graham. And so all the newspapers that he owned all across the country began to highlight each one of Billy Graham's crusades until they went from hundreds to thousands to millions. The power of your tongue and my tongue.